Okay, we'd like to invite Debbie Stamp to come. She's been. Yeah, she's, of course, one of the first Sangapala board members, and has been plugged in forever.
I didn't even know Noel was here. I just can't tell you what my heart feels right now. It's a delight to see how the family has grown, the monastic family, the support. It's the four quarters, and it's lovely. You know, I discovered Buddhism and meditation when I was traveling, and I took my first retreat mostly because I wanted to understand about Tibetan Buddhism, but the retreat that worked out for me was in Thailand. And the first Dhamma talk went so deep, I didn't know what happened. But I knew my life was never going to be the same. And so I already was on my way to England. That was going to be my kind of my in-between stage before coming back to the States after being in Asia for about 6 months. And I was given the name, I was desperate to be around the teachings more. And so the monk in Thailand gave me the name of Amaravati in Chidhurst. And I went there, and that was another life-changing experience. And I think my whole practice has been based around people's generosity and my gratitude. And so when we got together to think about inviting monks to come to California to start a monastery, they asked if I wanted to do it, and my first reaction was no, because I had been in England and I had seen how the community there was quite stretched. Everybody wanted them to come and teach, and I just didn't feel like I wanted to be another hand reaching and wanting. But then I felt like I've had an opportunity that many people wouldn't get. Other people had different lifestyles, and I didn't feel like I had any right not to be helpful in whatever way I could. So I decided to do it, and then they told me I was the president. And I'd never been on a board, and I can tell you that being on the board of Sangapala has been one of my greatest teachers. I've probably resigned more times than any other board member. But they never let me do it. They never let me follow through. So, a lot of hard knocks on the way, letting go of some stubbornness and ideas and views and opinions. And really, the six of us that started, we had no idea what we were doing. There were no monastics here from that tradition. And we did stumble a lot, and we tripped a lot. And then Ajahn Amar would come, and we'd have a couple months or a month or 2 months with a monastic around that was really helpful. And then he'd leave, and then we'd kind of, what do we do? But somehow the faith was there, even though we had to learn a lot of lessons in working together and how to work with a monastery. None of us were familiar with supporting a Buddhist monastery. And in a way, that's very beautiful, because we had our own ideas, but they weren't influenced by anything worth listening to, even though we didn't know it at the time. But so we were able to be more open, and there's been a lot of really good people on the board, and it was Ajahn Suchito we were desperate, and he was here visiting, and I said, you know, we're really having a hard time, and this is going on, can you... I remember what it was, is we were at, the monks were at the City of 10,000 Buddhas, and I was driving Ajahn Amar, Ajahn Suchito, and Tan Tanavro in my old car that I made them push. I stopped for gas, and they had to push it to get it going again. But Ajahn Amar had asked, was asking Ajahn Suchito, what was he teaching the new monks? And he said something about Sangha Kama, I believe it was. Does that sound right? And I don't know why, but I just looked at him and I went, Sangha Karma, what's that? I need to know about that. And then he sent this, he just spent time writing it all out for us, and he sent a letter once he got back to England, and I took that to the other three board members, and it was a pivotal time for us. Kind of redefined our focus again. It really helped us remember again. You have to keep remembering what we were really here for, what we were really working towards. And it's been a very fruitful experience, and it's delightful, all the people that have come and gone, that have come through. And I mean, look at the number of people today who wanted to be here to share in the celebration of this. It's a very beautiful thing. Feels like a really strong foundation has established itself here in the monastic community. I've really watched the monastic community here mature, and the lay community as well. And so it's very heartwarming. It's very beautiful. And there's a lot of faith. I can die and it'll keep going on. But one thing I did want to share, because nobody else has talked about it yet, and I don't know, we were talking earlier with with Mark Lieberman, who was one of the first board members, and we don't have the numbers right, so that's not so important. But the first meeting that we had, and the six of us decided we were going to talk to Lumpur Samedo and see if we could invite some monastics to come and get something going. It was just six people. We had nothing. We didn't even have a foundation. And so we wrote on that, we kind of piggybacked on an invitation from Spirit Rock. So they paid for the plane tickets to have these teachers come for this monastic conference. And so we didn't have to pay for tickets. So we were able to meet with them and have time with them. But we decided at that time, that the meeting that Susan came on board, that we, the best way to go about introducing this tradition to Westerners who didn't, the Thais would find us. But the Westerners, they didn't have the experience, really, for the most part, of the Ajahn Chah tradition or the Theravadan Buddhists. I mean, there were the Thai monasteries, but with the Western monastics as well. And so in talking as a group, we decided the best way to do that would be to invite, I think Ajahn Lumpur Samedo had already decided Ajahn Amaro would be the monk to come. And we decided, okay, the way to do it is to invite him to come for a couple months at a time, and we'll put the word out, and people can invite him to give a talk, and can invite him to offer the meal. And at first, it was Nancy and myself who did a lot of the driving, I believe, that first year. And my boss was incredibly open-hearted and generous. And but what we did at one of those early meetings, even before Ajahn Amaro came, we said we got to have money, so. My memory, which we all know how memory is not very reliable, but my memory is that there were six of us, and so between the six of us, we put $4,000 in the pot. And I'm not very big on money and investing, but I have to say that was the best investment I could have ever made in my life. And since then, others just continue investing in stock. And it's the most worthwhile thing. And I just have a lot of gratitude. I'm delighted to see Ajahn Sundara back, because she spent a couple of years here. And we all went through a lot of learning experiences in our time growing as community. And it's just extremely heartwarming to be here today and have so many people wanting to celebrate this very auspicious occasion. So just express a lot of gratitude to everybody.
Thank you.